Yes, sir, before we get started, what is your name, sir?
My name is Curtis Backus.
Okay, sir, Curtis, okay. Who has him? You have him, Mr. Johnson? Or is Miss?
She has him, I'll take it.
I don't have it.
She has it, I'll take it.
Okay, so Mr. Kiwanis is going to conduct your hearing at this time, sir, so just hold on, sir.
Mr. Bradley, can you hear me clearly? Sir, can you state your name and ADC number for the record?
Curtis Bagley, 236509.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
You're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a revocation hearing regarding your community supervision. This hearing is regarding the two alleged violations listed on the warrant of arrest. You should have been given a form notifying you this hearing at least 5 days ago. I see that you signed that form on October 26, 2017. Is that correct, sir?
Yes, sir.
That form listed your hearing rights. One of those rights is that you could hire at your expense a lawyer to represent you. See no attorney with you, or are you representing yourself today, sir?
Yes, sir.
I would like to introduce you to the members of the board conducting the hearing. If you can see on the teleconference screen, to my far left at the end of the bench is the Honorable Mr. David Neal. After him is the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson. At the center of the bench is our esteemed board chairman, Dr. C.T. Wright. To my right is Honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse, and my name is Louis Quinones. I'll be serving as the panel chairman for your hearing. Also in the room is our community corrections officer, Mr. Osborne, and he'll be representing the Department of Corrections as well as your parole officer.
Okay.
Before we get started, we need to swear you in. So Mr. Bagley and Mr. Osborne, do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God, or so you affirm?
Yes, sir.
I do.
Thank you. This hearing will be conducted in two phases. Phase one will be to determine if you violated the conditions of community supervision. Phase two, deciding if your supervision should be continued or revoked. I will begin the first phase of the hearing by reading from the warrant of the arrest. When I read the allegations to you, you need to respond whether they are true or false. If you believe an allegation is false, the board will take testimony from the Department of Corrections and then we can talk about it. The board members will make the final determination whether or not you violated your conditions. Do you understand what I just explained to you, sir?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. I will now read from the warrant. You violated the conditions of supervision and have lapsed or probably about to lapse in a criminal or company as follows. Allegation number one, violation of condition number four, is demonstrated by your failure to attend, participate, and complete the Residential Community Behavior Modification Program at VBRE on or about September 5th, 2017, as directed on August 9th, 2017. Mr. Bagley, is this true or false?
I was never directed by her. I was never directed. I actually completed that program myself. I got approved for that program.
Okay, sir. With respect, my question is whether that is true or false.
Well, it's partially true that I didn't finish it, but it's not true that she directed me to do it.
Well, you have a choice, so are you going with true or false?
I can't make a choice because part of it is true and part of it is false.
All right, I'm going to mark it down as false.
Okay.
Out of respect to follow through the process, I'm not going to just assume it's true. Okay, and then I'm going to read you the second allegation, and that's allegation number two, violation of condition number two, is demonstrated by your failure to follow the directives of your assigned parole officer by failing to report him for a face-to-face contact visit on or about September 21st, 2017, as directed on September 13, 2017. You were actively avoiding supervision, thus an absconder from supervision. Mr. Bagley, is this true or false?
Not true.
Okay, so that's false.
Yes.
Okay. What we're going to do now is we're going to hear a synopsis of those events from our community corrections officer.
Okay.
Then I will come back to you for a few questions and we will move on to phase two. So go ahead, Mr. Osborne.
Mr. Allegation number one. On August 9th, 2017, the offender was referred and directed to complete the 90-day RCBM program at Beaver, 2501 West Elm Street, Phoenix, Arizona, 85017. On August 21st, 2017, the offender was reassigned to reside at the Beaver, 808 North 74th Street, Scottsdale, Arizona, 85301, location to continue in the program. On September 5th, 2017, the offender was discharged from the program due to his aggressive and abusive behavior to Beaver staff. The offender failed to attend any complete substance abuse counseling on or about September 5th of 2017 as directed. Follow-up. On September 5th of 2017, this officer received the following update from Beaver. Beaver staff received a call requesting that offender Bagley reported to his parole officer's office. The offender refused and stated, "I am not stupid. I know she is going to arrest me. My lady is picking me up and I may not even come back." Moments later, the offender got off the phone and aggressively charged into the kitchen yelling, "You got me kicked out. Layout fucking got me kicked out." Beaver staff asked the offender what he was talking about when Beaver staff claimed, no one got you kicked out. What are you talking about? The offender then turned all of his aggression towards Beaver staff and started yelling, "Oh, you think this is fucking funny? Why the fuck are you laughing? Then bitch." Razzles Beaver staff and Opie then walked to the office where the offender followed and continued to harass Upe. Upe told the offender that he needed to leave the office so that Razas and her can discuss the situation, and the offender followed with, "Make me. Put your hands on me, bitch." Okay, then pointed to the doorway and said again, "Please leave the office now." The offender responded with, "Fight me, bitch. I am not moving. I want to see if you will put your fucking hands on me. How are you going to make me leave?" Upe continued to say in an assertive tone, "Leave the office now." When the offender took a step forward, Rasa stepped in and told the offender, "Leave the office now and don't say another word to my staff. If you continue to harass or threaten her, then I will call the police." The offender then left the office and went to the living room. While Rasa called to check on status of transportation, the offender confronted Upe again. Ross then told the offender that he had 15 minutes to bag his belongings and wait for transportation outside. The offender then started singing and packing his belongings while periodically staring at Upe in an attempt to instigate and intimidate. Go ahead with number two.
Yeah, go ahead without allegation number two. Pardon me, sir.
Yes, sir. Allegation number two. On September 21st of 2017, the offender failed to report to the Western Regional Parole Office, WRPO, at 801 South 16th Street, Phoenix, Arizona, 85034, for his face-to-face contact visit with his assigned parole officer as verbally directed on September 13th of 2017. The offender is actively avoiding supervision, thus he is an absconder from supervision. Follow-up. On September 26th of 2017, Officer Borrego attempted to drop a violation letter to CAS, 230 South 12th Avenue, Phoenix, Arizona, 85007. Officer Borrego was informed that they would not be able to deliver the letter to the offender. Instead, an alert was added to his name, and as soon as he checks in with his CAS ID, staff is notified him that he needs to report to West Regional Parole Office on September 27th, 2017 by 9 a.m. to see his assigned parole officer. On September 27th, 2017, the offender failed to report. On September 28th of 2017, CFO Officer Chuck French contacted the Maricopa County Sheriff's Office to see if they had the offender in their custody. At that time, he was advised they did not have him. On September 28th of 2017, the offender made contact with the assigned parole officer by telephone. The offender indicated that he was at the CBI. The offender was directed by Parole Officer Palmer and Senior Parole Officer Chuck Ridge to report to the Western Regional Parole Office, or WRPO, along with his documentation. On September 28th, 2017, the offender failed to report.
Thank you, Mr. Osborne. Back to you, Mr. Bagley, hold on 1 second. Just for the first phase of the hearing, what is false about those allegations?
The first allegation, That totally didn't go down. I did get kicked out of the halfway house, but it didn't go down. There's two sides to every story of what happened when we met that lady, of why I got kicked out and all that. There's two sides to every story. But I did get approved to go to a cast. I wasn't studying the cast. Okay, I missed a drug test. All right, let me start. I was supposed to be on medications, okay? I was supposed to be sent to my clinic because I'm SMI, okay? All right? My parole officer assigned me to the wrong clinic. She was supposed to take me to another clinic. I got bounced back and forth. I'm not on my medication this whole time. Now I'm going to the right clinic. And it's not my fault because she had a note somewhere in her thing that I was supposed to go into a different clinic where my doctor was, and for like over a month this went on before I had to find out what clinic I was supposed to go to. At this time I'm out of meds, so yes, I've got an anger issue and I've got memory problems and all that, you know, and I take medications for that stuff. So I went on my medications due to the fact that they made a mistake of where my clinic was supposed to be. I didn't have a doctor to put me on medications. But for the drug test, I missed the drug test. I don't think you mentioned that.
Well, sir, hold on. Yeah. The two main questions are regarding whether or not you failed to attend RCBM and whether or not you're an absconder. So what's okay. False? Because I need to move through to phase two.
Okay, I'm sorry. I did go to do the thing there, but I wasn't ordered by her to do that. I chose that program on my own. I was never ordered by my parole officer to do that program. I chose that program before I got out of prison, and I chose to put myself into that program. She had nothing to do with ordering me to do it. There was no order for her ever. No verbal order, no written order for me to take that program. I chose that program on my own.
Okay, sir, what about actively avoiding supervision? What about disappearing from supervision?
When I moved in on 916 and whatever day it was, she gave me a parole card, okay? A parole card with 10-21-17 written on. That was actually, that's October 21st. So that's the day I'm thinking. If you need to report, I call on the 28th of that month, September, or whatever. I'm calling the 20th, man, to get the dates, but I called her and let her know where I was. I was not at CBI. I was at UPC, where they would not let me go. They wouldn't let me go because I wasn't on my meds when I was on that episode, and the cops put a petition on me to where I had to be in that place. When I called her, she said, oh, we took out of work because you didn't show up. I told her about the card that she wrote me, and it said 1021, not 921 on it, okay? So I couldn't leave the NPC until they released me. The next day, they did a report this, that the next day when I got out of the UPC on the 29th, I went down to the parole office knowing that they said they took out a warrant. I went down there and turned myself in because I was not an absconder. And if you also read the report, if they went to the shelter that I was staying at, and the shelter notified them that I was still staying there, if I was absconding, I would have left that place. I would have not called her on the 28th and let her know where I was on the 28th.
Okay, so...
I would have been there. If they were in 921, I would have been there to see her, but she will
take me from
my other part.
I'm going to make a motion now to move through the first phase of the hearing, and you'll have another opportunity to speak to the board during the second phase.
Okay.
So, for the sake of phase one, based on the information provided in warrant number 2017W3343 and information, follow-up information provided by the Department of Corrections, I move to find Mr. Bagley delinquent as he violated the terms and conditions of his supervision and that he may have or have lapsed into criminal ways or company.
Second.
Agree.
Just 1 second, Mr. Bagley. Violation or admission.
How can you say I'm just responding when I thought in college? Fucking piece of shit.
Well, I guess I don't have an opportunity to explain the second phase of the hearing, but I will continue the hearing just for the sake of documenting this in the recording. If you'll just give us 1 second, ma'am, I have to, ma'am?
Yes.
I have to continue reading the hearing, who walked out.
Okay, no problem, just put this name on your...
No, thank you, you're always wonderful, thank you. From this point forward, I will make a notation for the recording that Mr. Bagley walked out of his hearing, and I will go ahead and make the second motion for phase two, if that's correct, Mr. Board Chairman. And that is based on, again, the information provided in warrant number 2017W3343. I move to revoke community supervision as Mr. Bagley was delinquent, violated the terms and conditions of supervision, and had lapsed or is about to lapse in a Premier Razor company, inasmuch that he did not follow directions of his parole officers and absconded from supervision, as well as had a pretty angry outburst during this hearing. I think a strong indication of some anger management issues, and that is my motion.
Second.
Great.
Agreed.
And this concludes our hearing.